Now, your favorite music apps are available on Contour from Cox. Go from watching a musical to listening to your favorite music. Enjoy a country western and then a country jam. Go from a love story to love songs. Or go from action flicks to something that makes you feel like an action hero. Now with Contour from Cox.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living. It's the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. And I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host. During this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on both of our chats, one on the emotionalpro.com radio page and the other on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. Also, you can call us and ask questions or make comments directly on our toll-free number, which is 800-630-7858, 800-630-7858. Well, according to my research, 2012 is a year likely to present a lot of health challenges to us. And having just passed through a health crisis with my husband during the holiday season, I'm of the opinion that a lot of us will both need and want to heal ourselves, if only because of the process that you would go through, medically speaking, the cost, or the availability of enough resources. But how many of us believe we can heal ourselves? Our guest today, Dr. Susan Allison, wants all of us to have the confidence, power, and ability to heal ourselves, and she tells us how to do it in her book, Empowered Healer. She's got many medically documented cases of self-affected healing, such as the overnight disappearance of a diagnosed cancer nodule in the larynx, shrinking lesions in the brain, healing of cervical cancer, recovery from throat cancer and hepatitis C, having peripheral eyesight restored, blocked arteries cleared, and depression and anxiety released sometimes in one session. So if you're interested in learning what Susan Allison has discovered about healing yourself, this is the program for you. Keep listening. Susan Allison, PhD, can be found at empoweredhealer.com. She's a transpersonal psychologist, author of two other well-received books, and she's impassioned about sharing the extraordinary and effective methodology she's developed for physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. When she discovered it, it caused her to expand her career as a healer and healing coach, so she now guides individuals to plumb their emotional depths to discover precisely what is eating at them. And then she helps clients augment their own power to remove the emotional cancer that's stimulating the physical abnormality. Sounds just like what we like to talk about here on Full Power Living. Susan Allison, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. It's great to be here.
So let me start at the most powerful point here on one level. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially those in the medical profession, would perceive your claims as blasphemous. They would say things like, you're providing anecdotal evidence of the healing, but you don't demonstrate that it works scientifically. You don't demonstrate it. And thus, they would dismiss your entire argument. And you had a personal experience that you talk about in the preface of Empowered Healing, which was documented and convinced you that you were onto something that really worked. So will you talk about what happened with Tom?
Yes. Tom is my husband. And about 5 years ago now, 4.5 years or so, he was diagnosed with larynx cancer. And he had a surgery, well, first of all, to biopsy it and let us know that he had cancer. And the doctor came out and said, yes, this is what it is, after lots of misdiagnoses. And I had not worked with him. I am a healing coach with lots and lots of cases documented in my book. But it's very difficult and obviously discouraged for professionals to work with someone so close. And I was referring to him to other people, but he wasn't wanting to do anything alternative. He was wanting to just go straight, the straight medical route, as a lot of people do in our country. And so the night before we were going to go to the cancer tumor board at Stanford, I had gotten a call from a healer friend in L.A. who's an incredible healer, and she said, you really need to ask him one more time if he'll do a session with you before you go tomorrow. So I asked him, and he said he would like to. And so I did a session with him, and basically people can find this in the third part of my book, The Four Steps to Empowered Self-Healing. But basically I did some work where we visualized inside his throat, and you basically in this process have called already on some kind of healing team that's a spiritual healing team that's described in part two of my book. And for me, my spiritual healing team involved at that point Jesus, Lao Tzu, who's the founder of Taoism, and my grandmother, whom I never met, but apparently has amazing healing ability. So these are all on a spiritual level beings that I connect with in my spiritual practice. So they were sort of present in terms of their energy, and I visualized going inside my husband's throat. I thought the cancer was actually on the left, and when I went inside in a visual way inside his throat, I could see that it was on the right. And actually, Jesus, as a spiritual energy, was the one who removed what he found. He found that the surgeon had said there was a piece left that he couldn't get, and a piece of the cancer, a tumor that was left. And Jesus reached his hands out, and a piece of metal flew to him. He closed his hands. It completely dissolved and made some comments about putting some healing there. And this is a very, very abbreviated description of what happened, but people can read it in the preface. So the next day we went to Stanford, and five oncologists came in one at a time. They scoped my husband's throat, put it up on a screen. All this was being recorded and kept on a CD, which is stored there at Stanford. Residents were in the room, interns, and they were kept looking at the surgeon's report and looking at the screen and looking at the surgeon's report and looking at the screen, and it was gone. So there was absolutely nothing there. And they were stunned. They were embarrassed even. They were kind of just mumbling and walking around the room. And I didn't feel it was the right time to say that to five oncologists that Jesus had removed it. So I didn't think that would go over very well, Eileen.
You were in the wrong part of the country.
Yeah.
There are places where people would listen to that.
I know they would, but you know, and also I should share with listeners that, you know, when this happened, I, you know, was not really going to a Christian church. I left the church when I was a teenager, young adult. Did a lot of searching on my own, would not have considered myself a Christian, but Jesus as a divine avatar, as a messenger of creative spirit, really came, has been and did come in to my spiritual work. And Jesus was one of the first healers, and you might even say a Reiki master, where he put hands on people and did energy medicine way before we even used those terms. So anyway, so that happened, and the tumor was gone, and my husband was ecstatic, but it only lasted about 5 minutes because then the radiologist came in, the oncologist came in, and all these people came in and said, oh, but may not be there, but, you know, there's probably something at the cellular level, so you have to do 6 weeks of radiation, and you need more surgeries, I'm sure, in the future, and they scared him to death, and it was horrible, and sure enough, he did the radiation, you know, he did all this stuff. And anyway, so the radiation didn't work in terms of, you know, something did come back, it didn't work. He's had 9 surgeries, he's had radiation, and he was 2 years cancer-free, and it's recurred fairly recently. And so now he's willing to do something alternative. He's really reaching out. He's you know, scheduled a soul retrieval. He's like talking to people about his nutrition and trying to get it figured out at a cellular level. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy that he's doing that now, but it's been the hardest thing I've ever done because I've had to step aside and allow him to just walk whatever path he was choosing.
Now, you bring up a really, really important a question or area here,
yes,
which is, number one, you can't heal for somebody else if they don't want it, right?
Right, absolutely.
You can help them, but you can't really do it. And number two, even when you have skills, you really have to respect what the other person believes in, what pathway they take.
Absolutely. You're so absolutely right on. That it's been the biggest lesson of my life, because a lot of therapists, alternative practitioners, doctors, anyone in the healing profession or the service profession, there's a tendency to want to save, to want to rescue, to want to fix, that we want to save people, and it's sort of our mission. But what I've realized with my own loved one is that you can't save anyone. They have to save themselves, which is why, in the sense I wrote this book, that, you know, the reader and listener is the empowered healer, not me. And I give all of this, you know, tools necessary for people to heal themselves, which starts with wanting to be here and alive, wanting to really believe that they can heal, and then doing the work to heal themselves. And so that's another reason I wrote the books, because I realized that through my husband, that you're right. You know, you can't save or heal or do anything really for anyone until they're ready, and it's much more empowering if they do it themselves.
So you have a quote in your book from Jack Schwartz, who says, "People must be given back the power to take charge of their own well-being, a power that's often taken away from them by systems of healthcare that tend to create dependence." And I wanted you to just talk a little bit about what is powerful and important about self-healing.
Well, you know, there's another quote in the book that I love from one of my mentors who says that we really do know how to heal ourselves. We've just forgotten how. And if she heals someone, she is the one who's empowered. But if you are the one who does the work, who really goes inside and delves and finds what's going on and heals, you are empowered. You have augmented your personal power to want to be here on the planet, to fulfill your soul's purpose, to go on from that point. And so I agree with Jack Schwartz that in this country, I feel that we have made, particularly people in the medical profession, we've made them gods. We've made them so important that we turn over our own intuition. We don't even listen to what we're feeling in our body, but we ask them what's going on. What do you see? What do you think? And we need doctors, particularly as Dr. Joel Fuhrman says, in emergencies, we absolutely have to have a doctor. You know, if you are in a car accident, Eileen, or you break your leg, you aren't going to be saying some incantation over yourself. You're going to go to the emergency ward. You're going to go to the hospital. You're going to get your leg set. You know, my appendix ruptured a few years back. I had to go to the hospital and have my appendix removed. So we need doctors, particularly in emergencies. But my sense is that we use them for too much, and that we could, you know, save money. We could, in terms of insurance costs, in terms of our own bank account, our own well-being, we could save so much in terms of anxiety and everything if we just learned simple techniques of turning inward to heal ourselves.
But most people, as you point out, have given up the ability to listen to their own intuition, and that's needed for self-healing. So how do people... Why is it important to get to your own intuition, and how could they do it?
Okay, so for your listeners, because I really want them to take tools with them today, all you need is, let's say, 10 to 20 minutes in the morning to close your eyes And this could be, you know, setting your alarm 10 or 20 minutes earlier, sitting up in bed, putting pillows behind you, closing your eyes, and tuning in to your body and doing a body scan and really noticing if there's anything hurting, anything that's stressed, that's tight, any energy that you're feeling in your body that's calling to you, some aspect of your life that's not going well, where are you holding it? Many people who come to me, if they have anxiety, often feel it in their chest. It's like, you know, they describe it like there's an elephant sitting on their chest and they can't breathe. So, you know, wherever it is, you tune into that. And then you just ask, you know, what message do you have for me? Why are you here? Why am I feeling this tension? And you'll get an answer in your head of what is going on and whether you need to take some more deep breaths, you need to go for a walk, you're working too hard, there's something wrong going on in your relationship. Something will come to you, and then the job is for people then, after their 10 or 20 minutes, is actually then to take some on what they've heard.
Well, you remind me. Now, I mentioned that my husband's been going through a healing crisis, and I told you this before we went on the air, but a few days ago, my husband sat up in bed and said to me, or actually he was lying in bed, and he said that he was getting a strange feeling in his solar plexus. So I asked him if he'd do something with me, and I asked him to close his eyes and in his mind ask the solar plexus what message it was trying to give him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was immediately accessible. He said the solar plexus wanted him to tell him he was going to be okay, that it was there protecting him. And so I talked about that for a minute or so and started to go on to other things. And he stopped me and said, wait a minute, there's something else there.
Yes.
And I said, what's that? And he said, well, it's God. Mm-hmm. God is in there behind my solar plexus, keeping me safe. And it made him cry, of course, as it would anybody, I think. And so I had him then imagine, as he was lying in the bed, that the bed was the hand of God holding him so that he could have that image with him.
Beautiful.
So this is the kind of thing a person can do, correct?
Absolutely. And look how quickly your husband did it. It's not something difficult. It's relearning. Because, see, I believe, Eileen, that we had this ability as children, that we really listened to our intuitions. And I say this in the introduction of my book, that, you know, if you're, as a child, if you're hungry, you eat. If you're not hungry, you don't want to eat what's there. If you're happy and playing, you want to keep playing. You don't want to come in. You know, if you want a hug. Children are very, very intuitive, very tuned in to what's going on in their body and their mind and their spirits, very alive. And as adults, unfortunately, and there's lots of reasons for this we don't have time to go into, but we lose that connection to our own intuition. I think it's because we are listening to everyone outside us. We're eating by the clock. We're going out and being with people when we really feel like being alone. We're out there eating when we're not hungry. There's all these things we do that we're responding to stimuli outside us rather than to what is calling us inside. So just what you did with your husband is exactly what people can do every day to check in with their intuitions and see how they're feeling physically, emotionally, spiritually, what is it they need, and then to take action and do that.
Well, I just want to brag here a minute or something, or whatever it is. When my son, who's now 34, was a very little boy, we used to ask him when he showed signs of getting sick with a cold or flu, for example, does your body need to get sick? And sometimes he would say yes, but most of the time he would say no, in which case we would then ask him to tell the cold or the flu to get out of his body, which he would do quite forcefully, and he would never get sick.
Wow.
And so I just wanted to put that out there for people with kids. If you want to just experiment with something as simple as that, he's 34 now, and he does get sick occasionally, but he has, and this I think is important, and let's talk about after the break, he has the idea that he can heal his body from sickness. He knows
yes.
that he can. And
yes.
that's an important thing that we have to have. So can we talk about that after our break?
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with Susan Allison, PhD, who's author of Empowered Healer. And she's got a four-step method for healing yourself that we're going to be exploring later in the show. So stay tuned here on Full Power Living.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I've got just a few announcements. Next week is February 2nd, and we're featuring extreme dreamer Lori Santos, who wants to encourage you to be an extreme dreamer, too. And so you're going to have to listen to find out what extreme dreaming is all about and how you can expand yourself in your life by engaging it. Our upcoming guests are listed at the top of the radio show page on emotionalpro.com. So be sure to look there and don't miss a single episode of Full Power Living. You can also talk with us right now, 800-630-7858, 800-630-7858, and continue to interact with us on our chats on emotionalpro.com or blogtalkradio.com/FPL. And remember, if you miss us live, you can download from the archives on emotionalpro.com, and you also can subscribe on iTunes to Full Power Living. And we want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Keep on telling your friends and family about us. We really appreciate that. Now, today we're talking with Dr. Susan Allison. You can look for her at empoweredhealer.com. She's the author of Empowered Healer. And before the break, Susan, we were talking about essentially beliefs that when my son was little, I could suggest to him that he heal his body, and he had no concern about doing that. He was open to
yes.
doing it. But later on, we develop beliefs, and they can get in the way of our healing ourselves, correct?
Absolutely. I wanted to comment about how ahead of your time that you were as parents, and congratulate you on that, that, you know, you really were giving him the power to know that he could release the cold or release the flu and heal himself. And what came to me when you were telling that story is that our bodies basically do what our minds tell them. So if you say to yourself when you wake up, this is going to be a crummy day, there's an unconscious pattern that you create in the day where you do that. You manifest a really crummy day because of your belief that that's what it's going to be. And I see that all the time with people. So I feel that, you know, and there's tons of books out about this that, you know, change your mind, change your life. But I feel that there's that connection between mind-body, if we're talking about healing, where if whatever you say in your mind, for instance, I go around saying I have a powerful immune system. I have a strong, healthy, powerful immune system. And, you know, about a year ago or whenever it was that the swine flu was around, my husband and son had the swine flu. I was right in the house with them. I never got it, and I am never sick. And I tend to believe that your body, the Hawaiians, and this is just a little side, but the Hawaiian kahunas, the elders, believe our body has a soul. We have three souls, a body soul, a mental soul, and a spiritual soul, and that they all need to be talking to each other and all in harmony. So we tend to dismiss our body, unfortunately. We don't listen to it. We go to work sick. We run when we have a sore knee. We aren't listening to the body as if it's separate from the rest of us. And so if we really are in tune totally, holistically, our body and mind and spirit need to be in harmony and talking to each other. So that's what you basically were doing with your son. Mm-hmm. And anyone out there who's listening can do it too.
Well, that's interesting. You bring up a memory from about 1968, 69. I had a job, and I stayed home from work one day because I felt ill. Mm-hmm. And I was lying there in bed, and I started thinking about illness. And I realized that what I'd been doing was go, 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 go.
Yep.
And it felt to me like I had been getting further and further away from myself, almost as if I'd been expanding out, like I was leaning over to the front.
Yes.
And pretty soon there was, and also I realized that my mind had been saying to me, man, you're doing too much. You need to cut back. You need to relax. And so I got this idea that illness occurs whenever we get so far away from ourselves.
Yes.
That what we do to get back to ourselves is we collapse and we get sick. And
yes.
When we're sick, we tell people, I can't do anything, I'm sick.
Yep.
And it occurred to me then, that's when this all started for me, it occurred to me that if I would tell myself, cut back and cut back first, then I wouldn't have to get sick. And that started me not getting sick, and now I too say I'm healthy as a horse.
Yes, yeah, I'm preaching to the choir here, because you are already doing what it is that I say in the book, which is that we have to listen. And what happens is we don't listen to our mind and spirit when it says, you know, and you're saying these things in your head, like I've had it. I'm sick of my job, I just am burned out, I really need some time off. But then if we don't take it, then our body goes, okay, it's like it ups the ante. So the body then comes in and does for us whatever it is our mind wants. So if our mind wants some time off, the body goes, okay, I'll give that to you. But it's like I say in the book, you're coughing in bed, not in a hammock in Hawaii. You know?
Right, so, I like that line.
Yeah, so it's important to realize that we need to listen first, as you do now, which is if we know that we have to have a break, we've had it, we just need some time, we have to take it or we're going to get sick. And if you multiply that like by a million, that's what happens when people get cancer, heart problems, MS, you name it. I see it in all these people who come to me that they haven't been listening and they haven't been dealing with unresolved issues or emotions or life experiences that they have stuffed down, that they've pushed way, way down, and it has to go somewhere, and I see it going places in their bodies. And so that's another aspect of my book, which is about really dealing with what is unresolved in our lives, and we will stay well when we do that.
So that was something I was going to ask you about, is
yes.
about finding and releasing. There's usually an emotional link to the past that
yes.
is involved in our illness or injury, some kind of
mm-hmm.
medical-type event.
Yes.
And you have in the book what I call the letting go exercise. I think you call it letting go.
Mm-hmm.
because it's crucial. We have to turn that loose before we can heal. Is that correct?
I totally agree with you, and that's in part one of my book, Believe You Can Heal. There's lots of exercises. This is a really interactive, experiential book where you need a journal, and you write answers to, you know, everything that I'm asking, these questionnaires in part one. And so you figure out what it is that isn't working and hasn't worked. And it may not even be the past. It'll be even the recent past, because I see a lot of people who get sick or emotionally have issues during a loss. Somebody loses a partner, or there's a divorce. There's some sort of loss, and it's different for each person, but they often develop some illness or some emotional issue related to that loss or related to that grief or something that is that they've lost inside themselves, if they've lost their job. So I often see illness tied to loss, and I wanted to mention that.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about readiness to let go.
Yeah.
I have a stepmother who's in her early 90s, and a year or so ago I was talking with her, and she was getting quite upset about some emotional event that had happened with her brother probably 70 years before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if she keeps focusing on it, she gets herself quite upset. Now she has a heart problem, so I didn't want her to do that. So I stopped her, and I said, I don't think this is really something I want to do with you, and besides, it gets you quite upset. And I talked to her a little bit about turning loose of the anger and letting it go. And her response to me was, well, I've been angry for so long, I don't think I can really turn it loose. I think I'll just have to go ahead and keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot of us do things like that. We're not so verbal about it, but a lot of us do that, don't we?
Yes, and I have a sad story about that a client who recently died, who was in fourth stage lung cancer, who came to me, I saw her for 6 months. She did heal emotionally and spiritually, which was incredible, but she had been holding so much anger. And I also see, Eileen, a lack of forgiveness. There's a lack of forgiveness in a lot of the people that I see, and they're holding onto it for dear life. And it's their ego, it's wanting to be right, it's who knows, but it's, it's a stuffing down of that anger, resentment, and unforgiveness inside them somewhere in their body. And this client stuffed it in her lungs, and she had lung cancer.
Mm.
And we did a lot of work using the tools in my book, and she was able to let go of a lot. She was able to be out of pain. She was able to even shrink some of the tumors. It was pretty amazing, but she was so far along. She was, at the end of her fourth stage lung cancer. She was in very bad shape when she came to me. But she was able to call her family, to make peace with them, to forgive people. But she wasn't willing to do it totally. And I remember a session where she went inside, and she went inside her lungs, and she was told. She was very, was an auditory learner, so she would hear these voices, and it would say, you need to forgive so-and-so. You need to release your anger and your resentment. And she would literally say to them during the trance, no, I won't. And there was this stubborn refusal to forgive and to release the past. And it had been over, 60, 70 years that she had been carrying this. And she did forgive a lot of the past, but still was unable to forgive at all. And it was sad for me, to see her still very stubbornly hanging on to her self-righteous anger.
Mm-hmm. So you do make a point in the book about curing versus healing,
mm-hmm.
that what this lady was not able to totally heal her illness. Well, I don't know how I'm not sure I'm clear on the differentiation, but
yeah.
what I get is that she couldn't stop herself perhaps from dying with the illness, but she healed a lot of stuff that was inside of her so that she felt better.
Yes. Now, this actually, Eileen, is a Western medical view versus a more indigenous, ancient, more shamanic view of healing. So in Western medicine, people in the West, we want to prolong life and we don't want to die, no matter what. And so everything is about not dying in terms of, you know, can you cure me? If you look at a different view of what healing is, and the root of the word heal means whole and holiness. And if you really think about that from a more ancient perspective of people who have been healing their tribes and healing, you know, individuals, you know, for centuries, it's about healing the whole person. It's about emotionally feeling healed, spiritually feeling at one with yourself and with everyone in your life, and feeling whole and feeling at peace, that you have no enemies. You have forgiven everyone and they have forgiven you. At least you've done that work inside yourself. And that, to me, is true healing. It's not necessarily a cure. But you are healing and becoming whole before you die. And to me, that is true healing. But we don't embrace that concept as much here in the West, nor do we in Western medicine.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we can go through the four steps that you have in Empowered Healing, we have to sort of set the stage for ourselves. And in our next segment, I'd like to talk about those four stages. So
sure.
Can you set the stage for us? What do we need to do to get ready to be an empowered healer and follow those four procedures
mm-hmm.
that you outline?
Yeah, very quickly, in part one of my book, it's called Believe You Can Heal. You need to let go of as much baggage as possible, let go of as much resistance and anything in your way of your healing. And you have to believe that you want to be here. You really want to be alive and engaged and heal yourself, and you have a purpose here to fulfill. And so to believe you can heal is the first stage of readiness. The second is in part two, is to create some support, to ask for help, to create a spiritual healing team, where whether you believe in God or you believe in energy or love, you need to bring in, whether you believe in angels, whatever it is, you bring in a spiritual healing team that will support you, that you can call on for assistance. And you also ask, here on Earth, you ask people to be on your healing team. So you create a healing team is the second step in terms of setting the stage for then the actual healing that I describe in part three.
All right. Oh, that's really, boy, you did that so succinctly. That's really wonderful. That's great. All right. We're talking today with Susan Allison, PhD, who's author of The Empowered Healer, and she's just set the stage for us to look at the four steps that she lays out in Empowered Healer. And so we'll be looking at that when we return. If you have questions or comments, ask them now, 800-630-7858, or on either of our chats. We'll be right back. You're listening to Full Power Living.
Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. We're back here on Full Power Living. Today we're talking with Susan Allison, PhD, who's the author of Empowered Healer, in which she is helping us all to learn how to become the empowered healer of ourselves. And Susan, before the break, I asked you if you will go through the four steps of healing once we have assembled our team and cleared the decks of old resentments and forgiven, you know, doing some forgiveness exercises. What are those four steps? If you'll take us through those, I'd appreciate
it. Sure. You know, I'll say them briefly, and then if you have questions, we'll go from there. But this is in part three of my book, which is called Achieve Self-Healing. You're finally at the place where you're actually going to do the healing. And so step one is relax and visualize the part of your body needing healing. The way your husband did, Eileen, went right to his solar plexus. Step two is that you explore the area and you dialogue with what you find. Step three, release or remove anything that does not belong. It's an extraction. And step four is return the area to normalcy using light and color. So those, in a nutshell, briefly, are the four steps.
Okay, so you brought up my husband again, and perhaps I could use him as an example.
Yeah.
One of the things we found in my husband's treatment is that his legs are filled with blood clots, and those could break free and go to his lungs or his heart or his brain, and he temporarily has what they call a filter in his blood vessel, in his vena cava, so that these cannot occur. And he could take this time now to dialogue with those blood clots. What would that be like? How would a person do that?
Yeah, basically, and I think he did it. Did he do this in bed when he was going to his solar plexus?
Yes.
The person or your husband needs to be in a quiet environment to, sit quietly, take some deep breaths. He would close his eyes, and also for listeners, that's what you would do. And then, for instance, he would notice where in his legs, let's say that there's a particular area that's calling to him where he either feels some pain or he feels just some sensation there, or he just, uses his intuition the way he did with his solar plexus. And then he would imagine, taking a breath in, and on an exhale, he would imagine traveling down inside his leg the way he did in the solar plexus. He would find the blood clot, and it would show up as something. It's like I have clients, and I describe this in the book, that whatever is showing up may not look like a blood clot. It may look like a rock, or it may have a box with a keyhole. Everything has shown up when they journey, and it's just sort of symbolic or a metaphor that shows up. So let's say he journeys inside his leg. He finds an area that really needs some attention, and then he would say, what are you doing here? Do you have any messages for me about my life, and what do I need to do to get you to leave? And he will hear something the way he did when he heard that God was inside him. He'll hear some message about what he can do. Then, after he pays attention to the blood clots, what often happens is they start disappearing. Because what our body is trying to do is get our attention. And almost everyone who does this, they hear a message like, I just wanted you to pay attention. I just wanted you to change your life in this way or that. And so he'll get some message about what he can actually do. And then I call this sort of the make a deal part, where he needs to agree to do whatever he was told. And then often they'll already have started fading or turning colors or disappearing. And if they all are not gone, or if the one he's working on isn't gone, then he does the extraction piece, where you imagine gathering it up, and you can ask your healing team for help, but you gather whatever is left, and you send it into the universe to be rendered harmless. And after everything is gone in the area he's working, then he brings in colored light through the top of his head and brings it all the way down into his leg or wherever he's working and returns the area to normalcy. And whatever color it is important. And in my book, I share some of the meanings of various colors from other authors. It's not just my research. And then he restores it to normalcy. And then there's kind of a step five, Eileen, which is that then he actually has to do whatever it is that he was told. And and I see people get well when they do what they're told, and they don't get well, or whatever is happening recurs if they don't do what they're told.
Watch out.
No, I'm serious. I have case after case in the book about, you know, people who do, you know, whatever they're told in the session that they do, and what happens to the people who don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine it's such a relief to have change that you can fool yourself into thinking that it will last, sort of bargain away, well, I don't have to do any more. You know, you mentioned earlier that Jesus helped you to heal, and Jesus also gave you the light and color exercise. And I think a lot of people listening may be curious about how you got Jesus in there and who he is to you.
Yeah. You know, and this could be any belief. It could be anybody who's listening who believes in Buddha or believes in any being. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I really wasn't particularly a Christian when Jesus came in. But Jesus is a much, much bigger figure. Jesus, you know, the divine Christ, the Christ essence, is larger. And so it's in part two of my book, and it would take way too long to explain all of it. But it's a shamanic journey process. It's a trance journey that you do, where you close your eyes, you imagine a path, and you go to what I call, and what author Hank Wesselman calls, the sacred garden. I always called it just, and in hypnotherapy, people have been doing it for a long time, where you call it your place in nature, or your special place, or your sacred place. And you go there when your eyes are closed, it's like a meditation, and you invite in any beings who love you. And I've been doing this work since 1993, and I close my eyes. It's part of my spiritual practice, and I imagine going to this sacred place. Everybody looks different. It's yours alone. And you invite in beings who love you, and certain beings show up. And that's what I describe in part two, that I did that one day when I had a shoulder injury. Jesus showed up for the first time in my garden or in my special place in nature. He showed me an exercise to bring in golden light through the top of my head into my shoulder. It healed my shoulder, and he told me to use it on myself and to use it with my clients to help them heal what was bothering them. And so people can read, it's much more detailed, but people can read it in part two of the book.
That's a wonderful explanation, though. Thank you very much. And so... When you're bringing light in, it's like you imagine you have a trap door in the top of your head, and you just open it up and allow the light to come in, and you don't have to worry about deciding what color it is.
No.
The color picks itself.
Exactly. And so anybody can do this. This is a perfect exercise for your listeners to try obviously not while they're driving, please. But you can, you know, as listeners, you can try this anytime at home or someplace where you can close your eyes briefly. Basically, what you do is you just do some deep breathing to relax. You imagine, like a little trapdoor spider, you imagine there's a little trapdoor in the crown of your head at the very top. You imagine that it opens, and then you imagine light coming from whatever you believe, the universe, the divine, spirit, energy, love, creative force, whatever you believe in, you imagine that there's light, colored light coming down through the top of your head, and then you take it to the place that needs help. It's either where you have some pain, it really works well for headaches, you can take it into any part of your body and fill that part of your body with that beautiful healing light and let it bathe the area until the symptoms start releasing and the pain goes. It really works for all my clients that I have used it with. And everybody come. It's a different colored light depending on what's going on for you. To just trust that whatever color you need will come in.
Mm-hmm. Now, years ago, following some of the things I've already talked about on the show, I decided to shift away from modern Western or scientific medicine into a more alternative approach. It was 35 years or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized is that I had to shift my entire belief system. Otherwise, I was going to be, you know, like I went for a period of time and said, well, I'll heal myself, but if things get really bad, I can always go to a doctor and get an antibiotic, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I realized that what you believe is what, you know, what you believe is going to heal you is what's going to heal you. And
yes.
in doing that, I had my belief split. It's like, yes, I believe I can work with myself, but at the same time, I believe I can rely on these other people if I'm a failure. And
mm-hmm.
that I didn't figure that was very good. So I had to pull myself all the way into the belief. Is
yep.
that? Do you agree with that?
You know, I feel that what's important for people and for me is a balanced approach. And by that I mean that, as I mentioned earlier, if you're in a car accident and you're bleeding and you need stitches, you're not going to take some vitamin C. You need to get to the emergency ward and you need someone to stitch you up. So I don't feel that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't
Good.
Throw out a doctor. We use doctors, as I mentioned, really when we absolutely need them. And I, as I said earlier, agree with Dr. Joel Fuhrman, who says we need them in emergencies. He uses this analogy of Western medicine is like the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff after someone's already fallen off. What we need is a fence at the top of the cliff, and the fence could be your belief system. It could be nutrition. It could be all the things you need to do to take care of yourself that keeps you from falling off the cliff when then Western medicine will take you away in the ambulance. So I tend to believe in a balanced approach that we need to absolutely tune in and know that we can heal ourselves and stay well using our belief system, our mind, connecting with our body, with our spirit, knowing what we need. And at times, we absolutely need to go to the doctor. So I'm just putting that out there because I do believe that we need a balanced approach.
Great. And when if we do go to the doctor and put ourselves in those hands,
mm-hmm.
we still can work with self-healing modalities. They don't necessarily cross each other up, right?
No, absolutely. In fact, I do energy medicine with people, and I do Reiki and the reconnection. And I also do hypnosis with people to help them through surgeries. And I just had a client that went through a throat surgery, and last time he had it, he was in horrible pain and had to take painkillers. This time he went through with flying colors, and I just saw him, and he said, "This was amazing. I wasn't in pain afterwards. There was no cancer in the report. You know, I'm cancer free. I was totally pain free afterward." Anyway, So I really believe that Reiki and the reconnection as energy medicine, they work really well pre and post op, and for people who are going into surgery, and also hypnosis and being able to close your eyes and calm yourself down and imagine yourself well. So, yeah, so I believe that it all can work together.
So your biggest job right now really is what you talk a lot about in Empowered Healer, which is to get people to believe that they can be healing themselves. And is that the most important thing you want people to remember from hearing you here today? It's like you can really heal yourself if you choose to.
Mm-hmm. I do. And I really believe that people can empower themselves. It's about confidence. It's about really believing in yourself. And, you know, underneath that, it's really wanting to be here. It's really finding what your soul's purpose is. Why are you here on the planet? And particularly now in 2012 and in the next few years, I feel that we're really going to be called upon to really rise to our highest and to do what it is that we're meant to do here, and whatever our mission is. And I think that that would inspire people to want to be here, to be well, to do everything possible to be as healthy and vibrant and alive as possible, and contribute to their community and to the planet.
Mm-hmm. That's really important. I'll just mention briefly, just to tie this all up, that my husband is a physician, and he's been one for over 40 years. And his illness has hit at the point where he started to retire and started to question his purpose here on the earth. So it really ties together. Thank you for pointing that out.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, you've really taken a tiger by the tail, Susan, looking at self-healing. I know that you were brought there naturally, but I want to thank you for all that you've gone through and all that you've discovered, and also for writing Empowered Healer. My husband has agreed that he's going to be reading your book, which I'm pleased with, and I hope that a lot of people will explore your ideas so that they can become healing, so they can heal themselves on emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical levels. That's really great.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to just mention briefly, if people want to contact me, they can go to empoweredhealer.com, and I also have CDs that work really well with the book. They're 13 exercises, and people can contact me. All my contact information is on my website.
Yes, and it's a beautiful website, too. It's uplifting just to see it.
Thank you.
Thank you for being my guest here on Full Power Living today, Susan.
You're very welcome. It's been great to be here, Eileen.
All right. Next week, February 2nd, we're featuring Lori Santos as she explores extreme dreaming with us. This is a good one. You're not going to want to miss it. Join us live on Thursdays, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Thank you, producer extraordinaire Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, for our great sound. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Something incredible has arrived at Disney California Adventure Park.
Darling, I want action.
We're going big.
Elegance.
And we're going fast.
And speed.
The Incredicoaster is here and now open at Pixar Pier at Disney California Adventure Park. Bring your super family and your friends and come celebrate friendship and beyond at Pixar Fest before it ends September 3rd, only at Disneyland Resort. Attractions and entertainment subject to change without notice.